If you've got your Bible with you this morning, go ahead, open it up to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be there again looking at the birth of Jesus. And you've heard me read this text a few weeks in a row now, and so I figured we'd start this morning with another familiar voice reading Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Check it out on the screens there.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
It's that simple, isn't it? That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Listen, Linus had the good news, and what did he do? He shared the good news, right? His buddy Charlie was stressed out with the worries and the busyness of the season. The Christmas tree that Charlie Brown had, it wasn't working out, and he had someone that was kind enough and loving enough to point him to Jesus. Here's the point this morning. You can write this at the top of your page. Everything will flow from this main idea or this thought. When you have the good news, you are supposed to share the good news. It's the right thing to do. It's the kind thing to do. It's the loving thing to do. And we're going to see in God's word this morning that it is the godly thing to do as we look at the response of the shepherds that very first Christmas night. Pick it up with me again in verse 8. It says this, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. The region that's mentioned here is referring to the same region as the birth of Jesus. So we're thinking close to Bethlehem, right? That's where these shepherds are. And if you've ever been on an Israel trip, you've been to the shepherds' fields. Like you go to Bethlehem and you see the Church of the Nativity, and then they take you out to those shepherds' fields. And if you've been there, you know spatially that this region is also very close to Jerusalem. And it's worth noting that many of the shepherds raising sheep in this same region would have been raising lambs that would have been used as sacrifices in the temple. So Jesus, right, the one final sacrifice for our sins, is born in the same region that shepherds would have been raising those sheep. Interesting historical note. Verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior, Christ, Lord. We dove into that last week. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So this is it right here. The greatest announcement in the history of the world, the Savior who is Christ the Lord has now been born. And shepherds, here's how you can go find him. And then after the announcement, we saw the angels respond in worship. Verse 14, they say, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom God is pleased. Now, that had to have been the greatest choir concert in the history of the world. A few weeks ago, Hildebrandt Intermediate School, their middle school choir, did their big Christmas choir concert right here. They were great. Fantastic. If you've been to the Christmas Spectacular this year, you've heard amazing singing, fantastic voices coming together. But as good as they are, I can't begin to imagine a concert put on by the angels. Think about that. That's what the shepherds got. the very first Christmas night. But then as quickly as the angels appeared, they were gone. And the shepherds are back alone in the dark of night. Think about that. Their world's rocked and the angels are gone. Verse 15, when the angels went away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So the angels left and the shepherds are just standing there. Put yourself in their shoes. I got to imagine, before any words were spoken, they looked at each other, their eyes were big, and they're thinking, am I crazy? Did you see that too? Am I seeing things? Like, did we all just experience that? Obviously, they did. In the verse 15, it says right there, the shepherds said to one another. Now, the Greek tense of these words here could be translated, or it emphasizes continual or constant conversation. And so it could be translated, the shepherds could not stop talking to one another about what had just happened, which makes a lot of sense, right? They experienced the glory of the Lord in the dead of night. They're going to talk about it nonstop. But as we read here, I want you to notice this. They couldn't stop talking about it, but they did way more than just talk about it. They did something about it, and that matters. There's a lot of people that do a lot of talking, but that's all they ever do, right? They don't get past the talking. You probably know people like that, right? What's the phrase? Talk's cheap, right? Some people never get past the talking. Any number of reasons. Maybe they just don't want to make a wrong decision. But if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, here's what you need to know. When you have a word from the Lord, the response, me, you, anybody, right, is supposed to be immediate action. That's what we learn first from the shepherds here. When God speaks, we are to respond immediately, right? Respond to Jesus with immediate obedience, not delayed obedience. My kids are great at that, right? It's not what we're called to. Not disobedience. My dog is great at that. Instant obedience. Shepherds are given a word from God. They did something with it. That's not a difficult concept. And just like them, we have to process and respond to the information that we get as well. If you got a text message this afternoon when you're leaving the parking lot that said, hey, for the rest of the day, beef fajitas at Lupe Tortilla are completely free. All you can eat, all you want. What would you do? You wouldn't even think. Your car would just go there. The information would come in. You would process it, and you would do something with that information, right? What if you got the same note that said, hey, listen, for the rest of 2024 and all of 2025, if you go to Exxon to fill your car up with gas, the gas is totally free. What would you do? You wouldn't fill up at Shell, right? I mean, you would do something with the information that was given to you. Information would lead you to a place of action, right? Great, great information, and then we go and do something with it. We'd act on what we knew. What about this? Right, when we hear from God, the hope or the goal is that we would do something with what God is telling us. That when we hear the word of God, whether it's in here or in a life group, maybe through a podcast, maybe in your daily Bible reading, as you hear the word of God, that we'd begin to live out the word of God, that we would do what God is telling us, that we would hear a word from God and then put it into action. Listen, if you can quote the Bible all day long, or if you go to 3 or 4 Bible studies per week, but you don't think and talk and act different because of what you learn in the Bible, James chapter 1 says that you are deceiving yourself. The goal is not simply retaining information. The goal is retaining information that leads to transformation. And that happens when we hear from God and respond. The shepherds heard from God. They discussed what God told them, and then they did something with what God told them. Look at verse 16. They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, Jesus, lying in a manger. So the shepherds went and found Jesus. Listen, when we display our faith when we respond to the word of God, when we respond to God, we're telling God, we believe you. When we respond to God, we're saying we believe what you say to be right and true and real and good for us. That's what the shepherds said with their actions. They believed that what God said was right, real, true, and that it was good news. And listen, when they responded, they found Jesus. If you've never found Jesus, if you've never trusted in him as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you this morning, be like the shepherds. Respond to God's word knowing that it's right, real, true, and good. And in that moment, you will find Jesus and he will change your life. The shepherds did. They found Jesus. Now, imagine the scene. Do you think when the shepherds found Jesus and showed up that Mary and Joseph were happy to see them? Mary had just given birth, trying to figure this whole thing out, right? And a group of shepherds paid them a visit. Now, we don't read it here in the text, but more than likely, Mary and Joseph were not happy to see the shepherds. In our nativity sets, they look like buddies, right? The shepherds are kneeling there with the sheep right there in front of Jesus in the manger, and everybody looks so happy to be together, enjoying the moment. And I'm sure when they left, they got to that point, but at first, no way. No way. You know why? People didn't like shepherds back then. They had really, really poor reputations. Shepherds were on par back then with tax collectors and gamblers. Shepherds weren't allowed to observe many of the customs and ceremonies in the temple because of their work. Oftentimes they were thieves out on the fields preying on lonely travelers. There was a saying back then, shepherds have a hard time distinguishing between thine and mine, meaning they stole a lot. There's a commentary from a bunch of rabbis back then, and in it it says, give no help to a heathen or to a shepherd. Bad reputations. In fact, so bad, their testimony was not accepted in court. Right, people didn't believe them enough to allow them to testify in a trial. So when they came in to Mary and Joseph on a very eventful night in Mary and Joseph's life, I'm imagining Mary pulling her purse a little bit closer together, right, so it doesn't walk off. I'm imagining Joseph being defensive and sort of protecting his family and standing between the shepherds and his family. But still, even with these reputations, think about this. These were the men that God chose to hear the gospel first. These were the guys that heard great joy all people. The ones that heard Savior Christ and Lord. They're the ones that heard all people, meaning Jesus is for everyone, even for them. Even for me, even for you. What do you think they said when they walked up and found Mary and Joseph and this baby? Mary and Joseph, I'm sure, tired, emotional, and scared. I'm sure Mary had been talking to Joseph about how she had to give birth outside because Joseph couldn't find a room in an inn for them. Not great conditions. And in the midst of their fear and emotion, these shepherds walk in. And their perception's totally different. For them, there's this sense of wonder and anticipation. They had just seen the heavenly host glorifying and praising God in the sky. And it told them about a baby that was going to be wrapped up in a manger. Look at how the encounter goes in verse 17. It says, when they, that's the shepherds, saw it, that's the baby in the mangers, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in their heart. Now, their response here to the angel's message, to the word from God, this is what I want us to grasp this morning. And not just grasp it, I want us to live this out like God's word calls us to. Here's our point, our response, application. It's all there together. It's be a witness, okay? Tell people what you know about Jesus. In verse 17, that's what Mary and Joseph did. They told everything they knew about Jesus. They shared the saying from the angel. Remember what it was? Good news, great joy, all people. Savior's born. He is Christ the Lord. These guys, these shepherds, they were the first people to hear about Jesus, and they were the first people to tell others about Jesus. They're the ones that God chose to be the first witnesses. Not allowed to be witnesses in anything else. Not allowed to be witnesses in court. But God chose them to be the first witnesses of eternal matters. Be a witness for Jesus. And as we read this, especially seeing the response of the shepherds, it should be very clear to us that it is not about the person delivering the message. It is all about the message. The only qualification that you need to share the good news of Jesus is to know the good news of Jesus. That's it. The shepherd's response should be our response. So this Christmas season, tell people about the good news of Jesus. Tell people what you know. That's what the shepherds did. Think for a minute. What did the shepherds know? Look up in the chapter just a little bit. Their encounter with the angels, if your Bible's still open. What do they know? Three sentences. That is it. Right? All the shepherds knew about Jesus is found in three sentences. Good news, great joy, Savior Christ, Lord, swaddling clothes, in a manger. That's it. And so when they found Mary and Joseph, that's all they told them. Right? That's all they could told them. Savior Christ, Lord. That's all they knew. I'm sure as they spoke, they got plenty of questions back that they could not answer. But it did not stop them from sharing the story. They told everyone what they knew. Every now and then, I'll get good news, and I'll go to share it with Chelsea, my wife. I'll be a witness. I'll literally tell her what I know about a situation. And sometimes I'll even say, as I'm concluding my story, this is literally all I know, nothing else. Y'all are laughing because you know what's next, right? She then replies with a bunch of questions. Guys, don't elbow your wives right now, right? Sure that Chelsea's not the only one. I remember when I let her know that our student pastor, Adam, and his wife, Melody, had their little girl, Micah. The conversation went something like this. Hey, Adam and Melody just had a little girl. They named her Micah. Mom's doing great. She's doing great. That is all I know. I shared the information. Well, then the questions came. How much did she weigh? Don't know. How long is she? Don't know. Is she born with hair? I don't know. How long are they going to be in the hospital? Don't know. What's your favorite color? I don't know. As the questions came, I realized two things. I don't know much. And two, next time a baby is born, I'm going to ask a lot of questions so that I can pass them on in anticipation of the questions that are coming. But think about this. My lack of ability to answer the questions did not keep me from sharing the good news. I knew Chelsea wanted to hear the good news. I knew that she would need to hear the good news. And so I told her all that I knew. And in an infinitely greater way, every day you are surrounded by people that need to hear about the birth of Jesus. And if we are going to be obedient to Jesus, and if we are going to be loving to the people in our lives, we need to make sure that we are telling people what we know. Your lack of ability to answer the questions that may come up should not stop you from sharing what you do know about Jesus. And just like these shepherds, I'd argue that when people have a life-changing encounter with Jesus, they can't help but share. It just flows out of them. And that's the hope, that's the plan, that is the command that God has for each and every one of us. Jesus, right before he ascends to heaven, at the end of his life and ministry, after the cross and the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, what does he say? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, go tell people what you know about me. Go tell people what you know so they can know it and so they can believe it as well. That's it. Think about it like this. Go back to preschool with me. What was one of the highlights there? Or maybe you got kids in preschool now. What was one of the highlights, one of the jobs the teacher would give a preschool kid that they just loved every single day? Line leader, right? They wanted to be first in line. They wanted to be first to go to lunch, first to go to recess, first to walk down the hall. They just wanted to be first in line. And on the flip side, what does every preschool kid just hate in school? Being last in line. right? So much so that when it's time to line up, what do they? They rush to the door. They rush to get in line. No one wants to be last. Some of us never grow out of that, and we can see it in our driving. But in this case, it's good. Right? When we talk about sharing the good news, just think about this phrase, lock it in. Don't be last in line. What I mean is don't let the good news of the gospel end with you. Ensure it continues past you into the lives of other people. Louis Muir, he's not in here right now. He's out running around in the atrium, I'm sure. He trusted Christ as a high school student, a young adult. He had a friend that shared the gospel with him, and he believed in Jesus and was saved. Recently, Lewis has shared the gospel with an 82-year-old man named Harry that lives sort of behind the church. Harry trusted in Christ and was saved, right? The line didn't stop with Lewis. It moved on to Harry. And now Harry, at 82 years old, is sharing the gospel with family and friends. He had his brother and sister-in-law in here today because he's sharing the good news with them, right? That the line doesn't stop with Harry. It moves on to someone else. One of our teenagers who's in the first service, her name is Sammy. Sammy shared the gospel with Ava, right? Sammy's parents shared it with her, but it didn't end with her, even as a teenager, right? The line continued, and Ava trusted in Christ as her Lord and Savior. And then guess what? It didn't stop with Ava. Ava shared with her dad, and her dad trusted in Christ as his Lord and Savior. And now Sammy and Ava are inviting friends from their theater department at school, and we're seeing several of them come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and invite others. And now some of them are serving in our kids' ministry on Sunday mornings, right? That the line didn't stop with them. It continued on. They were not the last ones in line. That's it. Don't be last in line. The shepherds responded to the good news by telling others, by being a witness, ensuring that they weren't last, that the good news didn't come to them, and then stop. In the same way, don't let it end with you. Here's the question for all of us. Who's in line behind you? The answer is very simple. It's the people that you share the good news with. And you might think, well, I'm not really qualified to do that. Let me tell you who for sure wasn't qualified to do that. This group of shepherds that were out in the field, like literally, they were not allowed to be witnesses in their time and in their culture. But that didn't stop them from sharing what they knew. If you know the good news, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you are qualified to share it. Begin sharing what you know. That's the application. That's the response. Share what you know about Jesus. And let me just, with our time left, give you three super practical ways to do that this Christmas season. If you haven't taken notes yet, that's okay. I'm not offended. Take notes on these last three things and take them with you and seriously do one of these, do all of these, use them to share the good news, to tell people what you know this Christmas season. All of them are just simply asking other people questions and then letting them talk. The first is this. Right? Here's number one way to share the good news. Ask someone about their family Christmas traditions this year. Just say, hey, does your family have any traditions that you guys do every Christmas time? You're going to hear all kinds of answers. There's a family in our church, I love their tradition. 25 or 30 of them, their whole big extended family. They get together, they wear on Christmas Eve the goofy sweaters, they light up with the Santa hats on, and they go to Papacito's after the Christmas Eve service, all of them together, and it's this big party. That's what they do every year on Christmas Eve. Ask people, and they're going to tell you their traditions. And listen, you're going to hear all kinds of things, and as people are talking, resist the urge to jump in and talk about your traditions. It's not about you. Let them talk. And when they're done, the polite thing for them to do, if they are socially aware, is to reciprocate and ask you about your family Christmas traditions. And when they ask, share one that includes the good news of Jesus. If you don't have a family tradition that includes the good news of Jesus, start one this year so you can share it when people ask. Growing up, here was ours. My family, my parents would always read the Christmas story on Christmas Eve night. And my brother and me, we would get down on the floor with the nativity set And as my parents read the different people, the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, we would like move them into place and put them into the nativity set as my parents read the story. And as we got older, right, and I learned to read, I started reading the story and my brother started doing it. My brother never really learned to read. He's 38 now. He's working on it. But he got there, right? And so we would just do that. And so when somebody asked me about our family Christmas traditions, I sort of shared that from my parents and say, so now on Christmas Eve, that's what we do with our kids. And we read the story, and the kids move their pieces into place, and every time I get to the angel's phrase, good news, great joy, Savior Christ and Lord, I'm just blown away. What do you think about that? Like the angels that first Christmas night called Jesus the Savior of the world, and now you're in the middle of a conversation. And listen, they might say, I don't know, and walk away, and that's it. But you've planted a seed in their head, in their mind, and in their heart, or maybe God's been working on them, right? And all that needed to happen was you to ask that question. And now you're in the middle of a conversation where they're asking you, what did they mean when they said that Jesus was the Savior, Christ, and Lord? And you can get into it naturally and easy. The second question that you can ask someone this Christmas season is this. Just say, hey, do you have any plans this Christmas season? Simple question, right? Do you have any plans this Christmas season? You'll get everything from travel plans to meal plans to work plans. And then politeness will take over and they'll ask your plans. And as you give them, give whatever details you want about your Christmas plans, but include our Christmas Eve service. Say something along the lines of, hey, every year, Christmas Eve, my family never misses the chance to worship Jesus on Christmas Eve. There's something about the candlelights and the timing of it and the evening before Christmas where it really makes us focus in on the birth of Jesus. Are you going to anywhere? Are you going to church anywhere on Christmas Eve? If they say no, invite them. You've opened the conversation. It's a super easy, practical, real-life scenario. Maybe they come, maybe they don't, but you've had a chance to talk to them about the good news of Jesus in that conversation. And then the third question is this, very practical, very easy. Ask someone, hey, what is your favorite part of the Christmas season? And then just listen, that the kids and students, 99% of them are gonna say, it's time off school, right? There's a handful of people that'll say, hey, even though every Hallmark movie is the same, that is my favorite part of the Christmas season, the nonstop movie marathon. Some people will talk about the food. Some will talk about the seasonal drinks that they get at Starbucks. There's always the one awkward guy that talks about the mistletoe, whatever, right? They're going to talk about their favorite stuff. And then, again, if they're polite and socially aware, they will ask you your favorite time of the year. Say it however you want. Something along the lines of, I'm just thankful for a month-long celebration that reminds us how much God loves us, that he would send his son Jesus that first Christmas. Have you ever thought how the birth of Christ has literally changed everything in the world today? And just see where the conversation goes, right? They asked you what your favorite part of Christmas was, and you were able to just simply share the good news of Jesus. Again, verse 17, what did the shepherds do? They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Everyone that heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They shared, and the result was wonder. You can think amazement with that word. Everyone that heard that the Savior of the world was born was amazed. And I'm sure for some, that amazement turned into faith in God, a belief in the good news. And it would not have if the shepherds were last in line. It would not have if the shepherds had not told others what God had first told them. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So when God speaks, respond immediately to what he says, and then tell other people what he says. And third, we see here that in their response, they kept on worshiping. So keep worshiping. The shepherds heard from God, and they went back into their daily life. But things were different now for them. They were different now. The good news of Jesus, that gave them a new heart. It transformed their lives. Don't miss what's going on here. Their circumstances were the same, but their perspective now is brand new. They are worshiping while they are working. Their purpose is brand new. And I'm confident that their response that first Christmas night sharing the good news of Jesus, that it continued for the rest of their lives. I can promise you, every person they met from then on out heard the story of how the angels spoke to them that very first Christmas night with the good news of Jesus. Great joy, all people, Savior Christ and Lord. The shepherds were not last in line. Let's make sure that we're not either. Tell people what you know about Jesus this Christmas season. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? As we bow our heads in prayer, again, doing this all month long, think about that first Christmas night. Think about the birth of Jesus. Think about the shepherds hearing from God and then telling others what they heard from God. Listen, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you know the reality, the good news of Christmas, tell others what you know. If that's not your habit, if that's not your rhythm, if that's not your pattern, I want to encourage you to be obedient to the words of Jesus in Matthew 28 and make that your pattern, make that your habits. Pray this morning for the boldness you need to do that, for the obedience you need to do that, for the faith you need to do that. Ask him to help you not to be the last in line. Use one of those simple and easy questions we discussed in here. Just ask people in your life what they're doing this Christmas and pray that God gives you the chance to share with them what and why you're doing this Christmas. Pray that right now. And if you're in here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you're just sort of learning what this whole Christmas thing is all about, the reality that God loves you enough to send his son to save you from your sins and bring you into a relationship with him. If you have never trusted in him, in just a minute when we dismiss, I'd love to meet you in our prayer room. It's the back left-hand side of the room. Just step in there and say, I'm ready to trust Christ, or I have questions about Jesus, or tell me what Christmas is all about, like Charlie Brown did. Well, whatever words you want to use, just pop in there and ask. We've been answering questions all week long. As we mentioned earlier, hundreds of people learned this Christmas for the first time who Jesus is and what he's all about. Maybe that's you today. Don't leave here without getting your questions answered and responding to what God is teaching you this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the way that you love us. And God, I pray that as we go, we would take this good news with us, that we'd be willing, we'd be obedient to share it with everyone that you have put in our lives. Thank you for Jesus. Let our hearts and minds rest on you, Father. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen.